Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Welcome to the State of the Race. It is Thursday, October 24th, 2024. We have only 12 days left until the election. Early voting is starting in Maryland today. West Virginia started yesterday. A couple days ago, it was Hawaii, Missouri, Utah, Wisconsin. Before that, Alaska, Arkansas, Colorado, Connecticut, Idaho, South Carolina, and Texas. So much is going on. So many votes have already been cast. Election day is sure 12 days away, but honestly, you're in the middle of election day right now. What's to come up on this episode? Well, apparently no one listens to the President of the United States anymore. Is that a big deal to anyone? Kamala Harris is still lying about Joe Biden's mental decline. And what should we think about this early voting data that's out now? We'll get to that here in a couple of minutes. But first, our key metric is, of course, the pulse cast. This is how we summarize all of the polling averages, the data experts and their full-blown election models, and of course, prediction markets. We put that all up, we mix up in a little soup, and we give it back to you. If you don't like the results, well, you can always blame them. Don't blame me. And the pulse cast, though, I think you're going to be pretty happy with it if you happen to be a Donald Trump supporter. 53.06% chance for Donald Trump to win. Now, that is up from about 42% just a few weeks ago. And one thing I like about that number, at least the way that this has happened, is if you kind of look at this, and we on the PulseCast graphic, we put this up at glenbeck.com/PulseCast every day. We also post it on social media. If you look at this, there are vertical lines that indicate key moments in the campaign. When the Democratic Convention was, when RFK Jr. endorsed Donald Trump, the Trump-Harris debate. The rise has been basically a straight line for Donald Trump since one event happened. What event was it? The vice presidential debate. Ever since that vice presidential debate, the line has gone almost straight up for Donald Trump. Now, it's hard to apply all that to just the vice presidential debate. Certainly, I don't think it hurt Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, but it is interesting to see that. And honestly, Tim Walz annoys me so much that it makes me happy that it might be his fault. Anyway, couple quick candidate updates for you. Nate Silver is saying his gut says Trump will win. And I keep coming back to that because of the fundamentals of this campaign. People aren't excited about the economy. You know, we have all this discord all over the country at the border, internationally. The incumbency advantage, I don't think is much of an advantage in this case, if there's one at all. In fact, it might even be a negative. The more that Kamala Harris is remembered as part of this administration, as she keeps blurting out when asked about it, the worse for Kamala Harris. So, you know, maybe there is reason for optimism. We'll get into that and maybe a little bit of the reason for pessimism as well coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Kamala Harris was also in an interview with NBC News, and this was pretty fascinating. Kamala Harris is not good at this. I think that's quite obvious. They tried to keep her out of the limelight for a long time. Seemed like the polls were turning against them internally, so they switched tactics and put her out everywhere, all over the place for a couple weeks. That doesn't seem to be working. Her latest interview was with NBC, and there was an interesting exchange. The interviewer asked, basically be honest about Biden. What did you see behind the scenes? Did you see anything? And her response was, well, I'll tell you about Joe Biden. He's accomplished, and he's experienced, and he's capable. And the interviewer interrupts and says, so you never saw anything bad? Nothing like, we saw at the debate? Really? Like, you were with him all of this time, and you never saw anything bad about the debate? And she said, it was a bad debate. You know, people have bad debates. It was a bad debate. And that's such an interesting response from the perspective of it is their old school messaging. It was their first response after the debate. When Joe Biden was still in the race, they were like, oh, it was just a bad debate. No big deal. She's still saying that. She's still saying the exact same things about Joe Biden that she said in the interview with Anderson Cooper the night of the debate. She has not come up with any other reason why he stepped down. Why isn't he the candidate? NBC followed up and said, hey, you know, that debate was so bad. That's why you're here. It's why I'm talking to you and not Joe Biden. That's the only reason you're here. She said, well, you'd have to ask him, well, if that's the reason why he's not running. I mean, she is incapable of being authentic, and that is really hurting her in this campaign. She went on to list a bunch of his supposed accomplishments, you know, conferences with foreign leaders that he was good in, supposedly. But what's interesting is basically she's being asked, did you see anything bad? And her response is, here are several things I think were good. That is not an answer to the question. That is the opposite of an answer to the question. It is trying to avoid answering the question. And so much of this comes back to whatever deal she made with Joe Biden for him to step down. She obviously is required not to say anything bad about him or to say that he ever had any problems. And it continues to bite her to this day. Now let's look at today's focus. And today we're going to look at early voting data. And look, I have a mixed relationship with early voting data. I think you can find some interesting things. I find a lot of people go try to look at the minutia of it and try to project the entire election based on it. I think it's not really good for that purpose. There's a lot that is up in the air and is difficult to suss out as to why these numbers land the way they do. And so I know there are a lot of experts who look at this and may find very interesting things. It's great that they're doing that. I don't obsess too much about early voting data, but I wanted to point out a couple of interesting things that may be reasons for optimism and maybe reasons for a little skepticism. So let's look at this. According to Jim Garrity, about 9.2 million people have voted in the 2024 election, according to the University of Florida Election Lab and their early voter tracker. 4.4 million registered Democrats have voted. 3.3 million Republicans have voted. 2.1 million registered with no party. Now, we don't know how, obviously, the independents are voting there. We also don't know how the Democrats and Republicans are voting. There might be a lot of crossover. We don't know. We also know that almost always Republicans are behind Democrats. Democrats vote early at a much higher rate than Republicans. They like to vote early. They like to vote via mail more than Republicans do. That's well known. So these numbers actually look pretty good if you kind of step back and compare them to previous years. So good, you notice in things like in areas like Nevada, for example, the Kalshi prediction market showed about a 50-50 chance of Donald Trump winning Nevada. When this early election data came out, it sprung up to about 61%. Real movement in a market like that. And that is kind of where we are. But I want to say that there are reasons for optimism. The voting numbers are pretty high for Republicans. They look pretty good in most of these states. However, and I'm going to give you a big however here. The big reason to be skeptical to me about these early voting numbers for Republicans, and not to give you a greater sense of optimism than is justified, is because we're coming out of a period where Republicans opposed early voting. For a long time, Republicans were fine with it, but were behind in the early voting process. But in 2020 in particular, Donald Trump and many in the Republican leadership actively encouraged Republican voters not to vote early. They said it was a real option, possibility for fraud. They said it was not reliable. And if you look at that, when you have your candidate telling you don't do this, you're much more likely to vote on Election Day. And of course, that played out on Election Day, where Republicans overwhelmingly won Election Day, but fell so far behind in early vote that it really hurt them. 2024, Donald Trump, everybody else in the Republican Party, to their credit, said, hey, we got to change this around. Instead of saying don't vote early, let's get the people to vote early. One of the reasons why voting early is really important to campaigns is they no longer have to waste resources on that person. If you vote early, they don't have to target you with ads. They don't have to come knocking at your door. They don't have to spend money to try to get you out to the polls. You've already voted, so they can use those resources to go after other voters. This is why everybody loves early voting on campaigns. They think it's great. Well, you have to remember that Republicans saying don't vote early in 2020, it very well should and almost definitely will give early voting numbers a nicer look from the Republican perspective. They're going to have better numbers in the early voting this year. That doesn't mean they're running 10, 12 points ahead of where they were running in 2020 when it comes to final election results. This is still probably going to be a pretty close election, and maybe they're doing enough here with early voting to make this into a victory in 2024. But just step back and look at this with a bit of a skeptical eye. Now, the other part of this is they are now basically outsourcing. The Republicans are outsourcing their get out the vote effort largely to two different groups. One is Charlie Kirk's organization, which is very well organized and funded, as well as Elon Musk's organization, which, of course, is also very well funded. You know, he's the richest man in the world. So that's it's a nice source of funding. Jim Garrity, as I mentioned, had a report on this, and he pointed out several different issues where, you know, these PACs were offering $30 to door knockers for each door they knocked on, which is a lot of money. It's usually like single digits, you know, $5 a door. They were offering much, much more than that. And what they're looking at now is potential fraud, where people who are knocking on doors, getting paid to do it, are saying they're knocking on 10 doors when they're knocking on two or three. They have technology that can catch this, and they've caught some of these people doing it. But you hope that this isn't one of those situations like the Michael Bloomberg campaign, where he came in with his billions of dollars, threw tons and tons of money at election efforts, and a lot of people were taking advantage of those situations. You're in a situation where it's hard to audit because there's only a couple of weeks left. You're throwing money out at a record pace. Are you getting the results that you actually need? And that can make you a little bit nervous when you look at these early voting numbers and these get out the vote effort numbers. Now, look, there were text messages that were leaked talking about auditors keep catching people who are cheating. They fired people. All this stuff is going on. These organizations say we've got this under control. We know what's going on. We knew who was cheating. We've rooted these people out. And if true, that's great. Look, Elon Musk is really, really good at taking an organization and trimming the fat. It's what I would like him to do in the government of the United States of America. And hopefully if Trump wins, that will happen. He's done it in company after company after company. Sometimes the accusation is he cuts too close to the bone. And, you know, that winds up being an issue later on. I tend to favor his approach. We all know him being in charge is probably a good thing over a long period of time. He's shown that with his companies. And he's very, very competent. There's no question about that. I will say the timing of this is a little concerning, though. I mean, Elon Musk only endorsed Donald Trump the day he was almost killed on stage. The assassination attempt day was when he actually did that. You know, scanning back to my PulseCast situation, I mean, that was what, in July? So he hasn't been he's been sort of loosely favorable towards Trump and his policies, but he hasn't been a full out endorser for that long. This entire organization was put together in a pretty short period of time, at least when it comes to a full ramp up and a get out the vote effort. So there's a lot to do here for Elon Musk. I think if anybody can pull it off, it's probably him. But don't get too fired up about the early vote numbers and the get out the vote efforts. Those things might be positive. They might be difference making, but it's not a guarantee. And there's still with 2 weeks to go and only a few million people having voted, there's still a long, long distance to go in this contest. And a lot of questions still arise. We'll try to keep you up to date when it comes to this and we'll stay on top of it. But I want you to make sure that you understand the perspective here and you don't get too fired up when it comes to positivity. I'm like one of these people that's like generally negative when it comes to good election results. I always think my side is going to lose. So maybe I'm being too pessimistic here, but just want to keep everybody grounded here so we don't get too excited when it comes to everything we're seeing right now. I will say it does seem to be moving in a good direction for Donald Trump. I think he's ahead right now. And when we have our totally made up scorecard feature, who's ahead if the election were to be held today? And I have Donald Trump at 61.465% chance of winning the election if the election were to be held today. Here's the thing, though. It will not be held today, at least in full. Millions of people will vote probably in the next few days. But the election day is not until November 5th. I have a lower percentage chance for Donald Trump to win the election if it comes out that day. I will go with 56.321%. 56. I don't know. Again, it's a totally made-up scorecard feature, so I can say whatever I want. I think he's ahead right now. I think it's likely he will win. But when I say it's likely, I mean it is very much on, you know, a toss up with a very slightly weighted coin. Like it is maybe just inches ahead. I'd still call the race a toss up, but it is very, very close. I think Donald Trump has the slight edge. Put it this way. I'd rather be Donald Trump than Kamala Harris for a multitude of reasons, not the least of which billions of dollars. So there you go. Today's state of the race. We'll have more episodes coming up this week. I'm going to try to do as many as I possibly can before the election. We've only got a couple weeks left, so whenever I have a moment, I'm going to try to give you one of these so we can keep up to date and together. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube page, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. There we have the show, Stu Does America. Also, we have live broadcast. We go live after these big news events, so look for us there. Follow the page, click the bell for notifications. You'll know when we go live. And while you're here listening to this podcast, click follow on this podcast. Helps us spread it around, and it's a big deal for us. So if you don't mind taking a moment to do that for free, we'd certainly appreciate it. Okay, this has been State of the Race. We'll see you soon.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.